All right, we got to read some pretty awesome texts just then. The Gospel of John, the introduction to John's Gospel is incredible, talking about Jesus as the Word there in the beginning. But we're going to spend some time in Isaiah, and let me just say, Isaiah is awesome. I don't know how much you guys spend time in Isaiah, but if you don't, Isaiah is amazing. It's known as one of the most incredible pieces of just poetic artistry in the scriptures. It's amazing because it has some unbelievably detailed prophetic visions that span hundreds of years beyond Isaiah's lifetime. And a lot of those visions we know really well. We are actually a lot more familiar with the book of Isaiah than we might even realize. We hear Isaiah every year whenever we're getting ready for Christmas, right? And celebrating Christmas. As Isaiah, in incredible detail, prophesies the birth of Jesus. He says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name," what? Emmanuel. Yeah, you guys know it. You know it. But today, it's very common to also read Isaiah in Lent because he does prophesy Jesus' birth, but he also, in incredible detail, prophesies Jesus' suffering and his death. So in the season of Lent, we usually look at those parts of Isaiah, and we hear things like the coming Messiah who's going to suffer, he will be pierced for our transgressions, right? You guys have heard that. He'll be crushed for our sins. The punishment that brings us peace will be upon him. By his wounds, we are what? Healed. See, you guys know it. You guys know Isaiah. Isaiah is awesome. But I promise you, or I would bet that if God gave any of us the chance to trade places with Isaiah, none of us would take that job. None of us would take Isaiah's place. Let's see why. See, we're also pretty familiar with the call of Isaiah. Whenever God actually comes to him and says, "Hey, you are going to be my prophet. I'm looking for somebody to deliver my message." And Isaiah, in bold face, he says those words, "Here I am, send me," right? We're pretty familiar with that. But listen to the message that God has prepared for Isaiah. This is right after he accepts the job position, okay? God says, "Here's what you're going to say. Say to your people, keep listening, but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive." See, Isaiah, the message that I'm giving to the people through you, they're not going to understand it. And honestly, they probably don't want to hear it. And Isaiah responds, "I said, until when, Lord? How long is this going to go on?" And God replies, "Until cities lie in ruins without inhabitants, houses are without people, the land is ruined and desolate." This is the message I have for my people, Isaiah. Isaiah, you know really well how a little while ago the northern kingdom, how our people, they turned away from me. They started chasing after false gods. They abandoned the covenant relationship with me. And you remember how they were carried off into exile and never returned. Well, Isaiah, the message I have to give through you, unfortunately, is pretty similar. Because as you know, the remnant, the southern kingdom, they've kind of done the same thing. They've also rejected me. They've also chased after false gods. And so, Isaiah, I need you to deliver a hard message to them that just like the northern kingdom, they too are going to be carried away into exile. They're going to experience war. They're going to experience desolation. But Isaiah, my message to the people doesn't end in desolation. My message to the people through you, Isaiah, is not one that's only about judgment for sin, but it's also about hope and a promise. Because unlike the northern kingdom, who never returned, these people are going to return. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to bring them back, and I'm going to fulfill my promise to send a Messiah through them. I will lead the blind by a way they did not know. I will guide them on paths that they have not known. Isaiah, I will turn darkness to light in front of them, rough places into level ground. This is what I will do for them. And I will not abandon them. This is Isaiah's job. To take the guidance God has given to him and share it. A word of judgment and destruction, but also a word of peace and hope and promise that God does not abandon his people. And what's incredible is that Isaiah actually does it. He takes God's guidance and he shares it with the people who probably don't want to hear it. Now, I want us to take a second and really think about how we might relate to Isaiah. We too have been given a message from God, have we not? We too have been recipients of God's promises, right? And the things God revealed to Isaiah have been known to us in even more clarity and more fulfillment and more beauty. See, we know that God actually does not abandon his people. That actually God does turn darkness into light. We heard it in the Gospel of John. He does it through his son Jesus. That Jesus is the fulfillment of these promises. That Jesus is the proof that God is with all of you, that God loves you, that God loves you so much he's willing to come into the world to die for you and suffer for you and defeat death for you. Like Isaiah, we have been recipients of incredible guidance, of incredible gospel and promise from God. And also like Isaiah, we're called to share it. To take the guidance we've been given and share it with those people all around us. Maybe even those who don't want to hear it. Now I'm curious your reaction whenever I say that, that we are called to share the guidance God has given to us, the gospel we've received from God, and share it with people who don't want to hear it. How does that sound to you? Does that sound intimidating to us maybe sometimes? Maybe it sounds like the job of a professional, a trained church worker maybe. Maybe it sounds like the job of somebody a little bit more articulate, a little bit more outgoing. But what I want to talk about today is something that our district president, Alan Buss, shed some really beautiful light on in the past week or two. We had a circuit meeting, and President Buss was talking about this question that was posed to him. And the question was, why aren't the people in our congregations maybe a little more quick and instinctual in having faith-based conversations with people in their community, with their neighbors? Why aren't people in our congregations sharing their faith with people in their neighborhoods? And his response, I think, was really interesting. He said, people aren't sharing the faith with others because maybe we're not sharing the faith with each other. Did you hear that? I thought that was really insightful. Maybe people aren't sharing the faith with others, with the outsiders, with those that we don't know, because we're not comfortable sharing the faith with the people we do know, with each other, the people right here, the people sitting next to you. And I thought that was really insightful. And it got me thinking about an aspect of the Christian faith that is so beautiful that maybe we don't talk about a lot. And it's articulated really, really well in our church body. It's called the mutual conversation and consolation of believers. Has anybody heard that phrase before? Raise your hand. Anybody heard that? The mutual conversation and consolation of believers. I'm going to have it on the screen in just a second. I'm going to show you a little snippet from one of our church documents, okay? We, as Missouri Synod Lutherans, we have this thing called the Book of Concord, okay? It's a collection of books, and we believe that these are faithful exploration of the Scriptures. And within those documents, it's called the small called articles. This is what it says about the gospel, okay? This is really cool, you guys. It says, the gospel gives us counsel and aid against sin in several ways. First, through the spoken word. God works through the word. Secondly, through baptism. Thirdly, through the holy sacrament of the altar. That's communion. And fourthly, this is where it gets interesting, through the power of the keys. And what is he talking about there? Well, it explains also through the mutual conversation and consolation of believers. And then it quotes Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Okay, what I want to focus in on for a second is that you and I, as part of our confession of faith, we believe that God actually does something whenever we talk to each other and we share the faith with each other. We share the gospel with each other. Whenever we engage in spiritual faith-based conversations with our fellow brothers and sisters, that we are called to say the hard things to each other, to hold each other accountable, to say, hey, this is not how God calls us to live, and also bring the promise and the comfort to each other that God is with us, that God forgives us. That's what we're called to do amongst each other. And I pray that you have actually experienced this before. Maybe you've been in conversation with a fellow believer, and you come away from that conversation like with this knowledge that, yeah, God was doing something in that conversation. Have you guys experienced that before? Just in my short time being here, I have experienced that a lot with you guys. I can think of several times where before or after a service, sometime during the week, I'll engage in conversation with you. And you'll share something that you're passionate about, the faith. You'll share with me that you're praying for me. And those conversations, I come away from them inspired and fed, knowing that God is working. Me and Pastor Matt, we've kind of made it a part of our approach to ministry where at least once a month, if not more, we'll step away from our desks and get out of our offices and we'll get off site somewhere and we'll just go talk to each other. Usually with a cigar and a coffee. And those times we have throughout the week, where there's no agenda, where we're just there to love each other, to check in on each other, to say, hey, I'm here for you, I'm praying for you. Those meetings are by far the most productive, fruitful, impactful times of our month. You can ask Pastor Matt, okay? That's what my prayer is for you guys. To prepare us to share God's guidance with anyone we meet, let's practice by sharing God's guidance with each other. There was some of that going on just a few minutes before service. So, your homework then, I want you to go home tonight, or maybe tomorrow. Maybe you'll be around the dinner table, the lunch table, with whoever you consider to be family, whoever you consider to be some of your closest friends. I want you to just really simply talk about what you heard today. Just do that. Let's start developing little habits like that, where we talk about what Pastor said in the sermon. Talk about the music you heard, a prayer that you heard. Let's engage in spiritual conversations with each other so that we can engage in conversation with anybody who comes across our way. So that's your homework. And I really want to encourage you to start doing this every week. Do it all the time, as much as you can. And to assist us in that homework, we are also going to be introducing something as a part of our worship service, which is sermon takeaways, okay? If you guys look at the pew in front of you, you should see a slip of paper. It says sermon takeaways. If you're in the back family area, there should be a stack of these on that back table with a little basket of writing utensils. And this is also something that we're going to start doing every week, every sermon, a chance for us to just take a minute and reflect on what we've just heard. What was God saying to you just now? What impacted you? Did you learn something? Do you have questions still? Were you challenged? And maybe these might help us engage in more conversation with each other. Okay? So I'm going to give you just 1 minute. There should be a pencil in front of you as well if you don't see one. There's one at least close by. Take a minute, write down your sermon takeaways, and we'll continue with our worship. You can continue writing. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the guidance you gave to us through your faithful servant Isaiah, for the promises that you have made to bring light to darkness, to bring hope out of destruction, and the fact that, Lord, you fulfill and you keep your promises. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our light, to be our hope. Lord, inspire us to share this hope with the people that we love, the people right next to us, the people we see every day, and that you might create opportunities for us to be your light to anyone that comes across our path. Father, we lift these things to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.